7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is fantasy all day today. We are talking rookies to watch for your fantasy football drafts. And before we get to that, though, we do have to tell you about some special stuff that we do have going on. Tim, you want to tell everybody?
Sure, absolutely. We have a Le'Veon Bell signed jersey for our listeners. There's three easy ways to win. It's a raffle, right? So when you listen to the show, you can follow us on Facebook and send us a message on Facebook with a question. All you have to do is give us a question, fantasy relevant, and leave your contact information. Twitter, at Pony Keg Sports. Follow us on Twitter. Or at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. Any of them. Follow us on there. And again, send a direct, DM us a message, fantasy relevant, and leave your contact information. And go on PonyKegSports.com. Contact us, leave your contact information, and leave us a fantasy-relevant question. You have three prime opportunities to win a signed Le'Veon Bell jersey courtesy of PrestigeAuction.com.
Do all three, and you can get three entries into it. You do it multiple different ways, but if you do this, you better be listening to the show. You better be telling your friends about the show. And also go on iTunes, go on Google Play, give us a rating, give us a like, do all that stuff. Give us five stars if you really think we are five stars, because you know we are. So go ahead and do that and win yourself a Le'Veon Bell jersey like Tim said.
And I'm going to say, we're going to call out the winner on a show and say that he needs to contact us. We have all your contact information, but we're still going to say, however you sent it in, hit us up still. This is a big time prize. Le'Veon Bell, top two fantasy running back.
When do you guys want to give the jersey away? Because we may be doing another jersey giveaway later on in the season, towards the end of the season as well. But you guys want to do this like week four, week five?
I say we go later. I say we go like seven or eight. And then when the playoffs start taking shape, we give a big playoff, one of the best players of the fantasy season, look for their jersey, and we go that route.
Five, do six. Week eight, week 17.
Week 8, week 17?
Week 8, week 17. I can dig that. And Tom, who hasn't said a goddamn word yet.
You guys just keep talking, but our final one, we'll take the winner out to the Pink Monkey in Chicago. It's a fantastic titty bar that sponsors us. We really don't do a lot of...
Funny story about the Pink Monkey.
It's a great place.
It is real.
It's a great place.
Me and Danny have walked by it probably like 40 times when we were down in town.
It's a great place.
But yeah, so you got multiple different ways. Go to PristineAuction.com. Check out all the stuff that they got going on there. Tons of stuff. I mean, we've gotten a bunch of stuff already. Cheap prices, guys. Take a look, and we're going to give the jersey away. But you have to do one of those three. We're not going to ask you to do a bunch of crazy stuff. Just send us some fantasy questions so we can answer it on our mailbag.
There's three things in this world that I love more than anything, Josh. That is cheap beer, cheap hookers, and cheap fantasy football memorabilia.
Cheap hookers. That's good. I like that. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to talk about today. It is going to be the rookies to watch in your fantasy football drafts, right?
Yes, sir.
So who
wait,
wants?
Wait. So you guys are telling me I shouldn't be afraid of every rookie just because they're a rookie? And you guys are saying that rookies can produce, right?
Yeah, man. Mitchell Trubisky, championship.
You know, I listen to some of our competition.
We don't have competition, Tom.
There's not much, but, you know, those profit, never mind, I'm not going to, or the four or five, or never, I'm not going to bring
five the guys on guys, tire wire, any of those suckers, the corn-fed kissing cousins, it doesn't matter.
I feel like we're the only podcast that tells people, don't be afraid to draft them rookies. They can win you fantasy championships. Just look last year, everyone was, oh, don't draft Ezekiel Elliott in the first round. We were telling you to draft him in the top five, and look what he did for you.
People were telling you, oh, who's Jordan Howard? He's just a rookie. He's not going to mean anything. If you listened to us, you would have known that a combination of Ezekiel Elliott and Jordan Howard definitely won you a fantasy football championship. We're just patting ourselves on the back, but I don't care. Josh, it's the best, worst week of the year. It's week four of the preseason, which sucks big, fat donkey balls. But it is the fantasy draft week. This is the week you should be having your fantasy draft. If you had it any other week, your commissioner is a dickhead.
We're also going to be talking about the rookies as well on DraftingSleepers.com. So after you're done listening to this episode, head over to DraftingSleepers.com. Talk with us about some of the rookies and some of the deep stashes or sleeper guys that we may be talking about in a future episode, because we'll be there talking about that. So
if you have a Dynasty League as well, Joshua, this is the episode to listen to.
True.
Deep sleepers, like you said, a stash and keep. For long term, this is the episode to listen to. We got a lot going on.
One other shout out to our buddies at CleatGeeks.com. Check them out. They do a bunch of articles. They're posting articles about some fantasy stuff right now. They do football, baseball, basketball, all that. So check them out at CleatGeeks on Twitter.
They have the Intermediate Jenga Championships going on as well next week.
We don't want to seem like it's rushed, but let's get into it because I want to talk some rookies. I want to talk fantasy football. And let's start off with the big three running backs, or should we say the big four running backs, or I guess now maybe big five running backs that we have for the rookies.
Just like my wiener, Josh, during fantasy season, the list is growing. It is, it's growing. There's more. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Who knows what's going to happen? My goodness gracious, there are so many in this class. You go into this season and you're like, Leonard Fournette is you've heard he's going to be the Zeke Elliott of this year. I feel like that's a bit of a stretch, but you have Zeke, you have McCaffrey, you have Cook, you have Mixon, you have
Kareem Hunt now.
And you've seen good things out of Wayne Gallman in the preseason. You've seen decent things out of Joe Williams in the preseason. Even Alvin Kamara has looked good in the preseason. There's a lot of guys out there.
So let me do this. We didn't really even talk about a format exactly how we're going to do this.
No, this was piss poor planning on our part.
We sat here and we said, you know what? We want to talk rookies. Let's talk about them. So let me do this. I'm going to ask you, Leonard Fournette, I want to know your pros and cons about the guy, the team that he's on, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I want to know where you would draft him after I tell you where his current ADP is. We're going to base everything off of PPR, all right? So the numbers may be a little askew for some, but it's a full point PPR. So I'm going to go Leonard Fournette first. Right now, he's on the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's the starting running back, splitting time with Chris Ivory and T.J. Yeldon. But really, T.J. Yeldon who? And right now, he's being drafted in round 3, 5th spot. What are your thoughts?
It is way too early for me. I'm not a fan of Leonard Fournette whatsoever this year. Look, that offensive line, it's not good. Cam Robinson is not the answer at the left tackle position like they hoped he was going to be. That passing game is going to be a complete mess. And he's already been banged up in this preseason. That was his main downfall at LSU. He had trouble staying healthy. A lot of people were saying that was just because he wasn't trying to get hurt. He was trying to stay healthy for the NFL and get to the NFL. But I am worried about him. And out of the big five, he's my fifth rookie running back that I'm trying to get on my team.
Tom, Taylor Swift should write a song about you because you're just that much of a hater, okay? I don't understand it. You were so high on Zeke last year because he had it. Leonard Fournette has the Jay Ajayi factor, the Jordan Howard factor. He just watch him run, and it's the eye test for me. Whatever you think of that offensive line, I get that the quarterback play isn't necessarily there, but the quarterback play was not necessarily there last year in Chicago either. You watch Leonard Fournette play, he has that X factor. He has the burst of speed. He has the size. I know he didn't catch the ball a ton at LSU, but I still feel like he's going to get his opportunities to catch maybe 30 balls out of the backfield. There is no competition whatsoever in Jacksonville for him, and they have quarterback issues. How do you set your team straight? You just develop the running game. You have him go, and just they're going to run him into the ground in Jacksonville, and it's going to be great for fantasy owners everywhere.
According to ADPs on the Four Letter Network, he's going in the pretty much the second round in ADPs on Fantasy Football Calculator, which is I'm going to kind of bounce between the two because I feel like Fantasy Football Calculator, they update it a little bit more frequently than the four-letter network does. So he's going as the 13th running back off the board. Do you feel comfortable as him as your number one? Or obviously I think we can both attest that he would be more comfortable as our number two.
If I am able to grab a Jordy Nelson and an Amari Cooper in the first two rounds, let's say.
Yeah.
And then have him as my number one, I am thrilled. I am extremely thrilled, especially if I'm in a PPR. if I, you know, get stuck with a DeMarco Murray in the first round, then I try to back it up with a Dez Bryant in the second round, and I'm just not listening to Pony Keg Sports whatsoever and drafting terribly, then no, I would not necessarily, I would not be a fan of that.
I would not want him as my number one running back. And Tim, you brought up some good points about Leonard Fournette, but for him right now, he just screams to me Todd Gurley of last year. Terrible offensive line, questionable quarterback play, questionable wide receivers. Jags have a lot better wide receiver options than the Rams do, or Rams did last year, obviously. But yeah, Fournette is one of the most talented running backs in the league. But without a cohesive offensive line, we've seen that talented running backs can struggle. And that's a big difference between him and Zeke. He might be more talented than Ezekiel Elliott is, but Zeke had a splendid offensive line in front of him.
This is the last thing that we're going to say about the Leonard Fournette and the Jacksonville Jaguars, because we want to move on and hit as many rookies as we can. If you guys have not watched Hard Knocks Week 3, please do so and watch Gerald McCoy and I forget the other guy's name off the top of my head, but they just terrorize the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line. They make them look stupid. And it's pretty entertaining to watch. And if that translates to the actual season, I feel bad for Leonard Fournette running behind that dumpster fire.
I have one last thing, Josh. Not about Fournette. You just mentioned the four-letter network. I am tired of hearing anything about the four-letter network. We are now the three-letter network. PKS, Pony Keg Sports. So anytime we reference anything, it's going to be the three-letter network.
Moving on, I want to talk about Christian McCaffrey, because via the four-letter network, they have him go in. I'm going to say it. The four-letter network. I'm not saying ESPN.
You just did.
Oh, geez, God damn it. He's going 14th overall, but if you're looking at more up-to-date stuff, he's actually going as the 11th running back overall. Round 2, pick 11. Christian McCaffrey, thoughts on that?
It's a little too early for me. I really think Jonathan Stewart is going to have a role in that offense. He's going to get a lot of the goal line work. But we've seen McCaffrey, what he can do coming out of the backfield as a receiver. That's what makes him such a sexy pick, what makes everyone love him. Plus, he's white. It's like a unicorn. You don't see him all the time. It's a white running back. Everyone's like, oh my God, the last good one we saw was Peyton Hillis. Everyone wanted him. Everyone overdrafted him. That's the same thing that is happening now with Christian McCaffrey. He is the unicorn of the running back position.
I wonder if he would get in trouble for going with the nickname the White Unicorn. Like, what is it, Martellus Bennett?
Yeah, he's a black unicorn.
I feel like that would probably not be good for him. My thoughts on Christian McCaffrey, totally different than Peyton Hillis, because he showed this preseason he can run through, but between the tackles, and his pass-catching ability in the backfield. I agree it's a little bit early, but I actually like him a little bit higher than Leonard Fournette in a PPR league. PPR league, he's going to absolutely dominate. His pass catching ability is amazing. And Jonathan Stewart is going to vulture a couple of touchdowns here or there, but who knows how long he will stay injury free.
Tim, the Bears had a white running back back in the day. Do you remember? It was about 10 years ago. Do you remember the name?
No.
I do. Brock Forsey. Do you remember that? Yeah. From Boise State. Sad, I remember all that stuff.
We're just being PKR, Pony Keg Racist. We're just talking about white running backs all day.
I'm just saying.
Jesus Christ, you guys.
I like Christian McCaffrey, but again, I do not like him more than my next guy on the list.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go with Dalvin Cook here. He's getting picked actually right behind Christian McCaffrey, right in front of Leonard Fournette. Dalvin Cook is getting picked 12th overall running back. Round 3, pick number 1. Thoughts on that?
Here's why I don't like Dalvin.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. McCaffrey, where would you be comfortable picking him? We talked about Leonard Fournette.
Early to mid 3 for me.
Late 3rd, early 4th.
Okay. Dalvin Cook, let's move on.
Dalvin Cook, here's my issue with him. I do believe he is a tremendous talent. He has grown on me big time throughout. I know Tom has been preaching his talents from way back when we were evaluating rookies coming into the league this year. I love his talent. I just don't know if he has the mental fortitude to be an NFL running back. And having someone like Latavius Murray, who is just there to steal and vulture whenever he even has so much of a hiccup, I don't doubt that's going to happen. I know people are worried about Fournette, worried about McCaffrey, worried about the friggin' Rockin' Sock'em Robots Joe Mixon. It doesn't matter. Dalvin Cook is the rookie running back that I'm worried about most just because of the team that he's on combined with his history.
You could say the same exact thing about Christian McCaffrey with Jonathan Stewart. But Dalvin Cook has been named the guy already.
Because Murray's hurt.
He's playing right now.
Yeah, he played in the last preseason.
Dalvin Cook has still been labeled the guy, taking first-team reps. He's going to be the guy. And I'm a big-time believer on watching film on these rookies. And I know you both are as well. A lot of people don't watch a lick of film, and they just go off what Matthew Berry and Christopher Harris – Not gonna bash him too much, but what these guys say, watch the film yourself, trust your eyes. Dalvin Cook is a superstar in the making. He should have been drafted in the first round, and this is a special running back class, and Dalvin Cook is my number two running back in this class right now.
Just want to throw out there, we are actually in a pro-am league with Christopher Harris, and if we beat him...
Not Chris Harris, somebody else.
Matt Harmon.
Oh, Matt Harmon. Okay, all right. Carry on.
Good try.
You don't want to bash him now?
No, I mean, I wasn't going to bash him. I was just going to say, when we beat him, I'm going to spend a multiple episodes just hammer drill.
Definitely. I've been playing a lot of Madden 18.
Jesus.
And I've been playing a lot with Dalvin Cook just to see what it is.
Devin Wade.
He has a rating of 81, and Latavius Murray has a rating of 87, and Dalvin Cook is the first one to trot out in the field, and that's going to be just like real life. The only thing I'm worried about is those touchdowns that Latavius Murray scored last year, and if that translates to this team over here. I don't think so, but there's always that possibility, and that is the only reason why I'd be worried about it. But look at Dalvin Cook in the preseason already. He's been targeted so often in the passing game. And you know what he did best at Florida State? He ran behind a shitty offensive line, and he was good with running the ball behind a shitty offensive line. Their offensive line was garbage, and he caught the ball very well.
There were a lot of offensive weapons, though, around him. Not the offensive line, but there were a lot of other offensive weapons that defenses had to worry about.
The other offensive weapon that you're talking about is a wide receiver that went undrafted, and he actually had a very good game this last preseason game. But, again, undrafted.
My point with Joe Mixon is I'm going to make a bold prediction. With Dalvin Cook, I'm going to make a bold prediction. By week 6, both Teddy Bridgewater and Latavius Murray will be starting for the Minnesota Vikings.
Idiot. Next,
I bet you like $500.
Dalvin Cook, where would you be comfortable drafting him? Right now they have him slated 3rd round pick number 1. Where would you be comfortable drafting him?
Early 3rd.
I'd say mid to late 3rd, very similar to Christian McCaffrey.
Same thing, yeah. I would say that as well. Next up, they have running back Kareem Hunt, ranked number 17, going off round 3, pick number 12.
So, Josh, you and I are both, all of us, we're high on Kareem Hunt. In our pro-am league, we have Kareem Hunt after this Ware situation.
Fortune tellers.
Yeah, it happened. You know, we
saw. Time travelers.
I kind of think, I'm kind of getting the feel, Kareem Hunt's going to be the Bishop Sankey of this year. Lot of talk about him. Everyone that it seems like he above Leonard Fournette, above Christian McCaffrey, he's getting the most love everywhere, just because of the team that he's on. That's my biggest concern, is that because he's going in the 4th round now after Ware's gone,
late 3rd, early 4th.
I mean, that is to me is still way too early for someone like Kareem Hunt when you still have Charkandrick West, when you still have Tyreek Hill, who's going to steal some, you know, trick play carries.
I'm looking at some of these other running backs that are getting drafted around his ADP. Ty Montgomery, Carlos Hyde, CJ Anderson. I'd rather have Kareem Hunt over all those jokers.
I agree with that.
He scares me.
He definitely scares me. We don't know exactly what we're getting out of him, but look at what happened last year with Spencer Ware. Spencer Ware had a pretty decent year. Not a good end to the year, but a decent year overall. Charizard West, he had a pretty decent year as well as a backup with no Jamal Charles. So with that being said, you're going to have a fresh young face coming in. You drafted your quarterback of the future thinking that you're going to redshirt him, pretty much. You drafted, quote-unquote, possibly your running back of the future, hoping that you were going to redshirt him or, you know, only play sparingly or third downs, and now you're going to thrust him in there. Now it's going to be, let's see what this guy has, and I think he's going to, I don't want to say blow up, but I think he's going to put up some good numbers.
Hunt is probably the least physically talented out of any of the five running backs we'll be focusing on right here. But you got to look at the system that he's in, what Andy Reid has brought to the table. Look at the running backs that have been with him throughout the years. Brian Westbrook, you got LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, studs. And they all benefited from Andy Reid's running back-friendly system. It is a running back-friendly system. It's going to continue. Kareem Hunt is going to be getting a lot of the first-team looks in the regular season. They're going to use him a lot. And that's why he's being drafted right now in the top 20. And I think he should be drafted there. It's a little high, but there's a lot of question marks in the running backs from 12 to 30 in this list.
I don't build my team around question marks. I am only that to me
look,
is
all
still,
these guys are question
hold
marks.
Hold on, let me finish. Kareem Hunt is just I would like we have in our league. I like Kareem Hunt in a flex position or a build-in position.
Correct.
That early, he's your at very least your number 2 running back.
But look at the running backs around him. Bilal Powell. You got Mark Ingram, Danny Woodhead, Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore, Amir Abdullah, Mike Gillisley, CJ Anderson. Theo Riddick, Paul Perkins, all those guys, straight up question marks, and that's 18 through 30. So you're going to have to start Kareem Hunt as a running back too. Yeah. That's the position right now. It's ugly, but people are reaching on him. He's a bright, shiny new object that they don't know what they're going to get out of him.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Yeah, exactly. He's got upside though.
Running, or where would you feel comfortable taking him?
Probably in the fourth somewhere.
I'm fifth.
I would feel comfortable in the fourth. Third is too early for me. I like those three guys that we talked about before, Kareem Hunt. The only reason why I would take him in the fourth is because of the news to Spencer Ware. Otherwise, I would have had him maybe sixth or seventh. But next up, running back Joe Mixon going as running back 20, fourth round, fifth pick. Tom, kick us off.
He is my number one running back in this rookie class. If you guys have been listening to us at all in the pre-draft process after the NFL draft, you know how we feel about him. He's the most physically gifted running back in this class, the best running back in this class. Might take him a couple weeks, but he is going to take over this job. He's got the best chance in my eyes to be a number one running back this year, finish in the top 12, and be drafted in the first round of next year's draft. Lock it in.
Yeah, listen, Joe Mixon, Josh, and Tom have been singing his praises.
But we have agreed that those first 3 weeks are going to be very tough.
And that's exactly what I was going to get to. You know, I've tempered expectations a little bit. You guys have been high on them. But you've also agreed, like you just said, those first 3 weeks, there's still going to be questions. Now, with that being said, it might help. I know Jeremy Hill, he didn't get hurt, but he sustained a little bit of an injury in the week 3 preseason game. Maybe he comes back week 4. My point of it is, he's going to have every opportunity in that week 1 matchup to get carried. I wouldn't be surprised if he has 8 to 10 carries week 1 just to see what the kid's got.
Yeah, I like Joe Mixon. I even have him in my top 5 in my rankings, but I think it's going to be a rough go for the first at least 2 or 3 weeks. But then after that, we are going to see the Joe Mixon show, and it is going to be David Johnson-esque his second year. I think we're going to see it right from the get-go. After week 3, and it's going to be something special. Me, personally, he's going in the fourth round. I would feel comfortable in the late third taking him, but that's just me because I believe in him that much, but I'm not taking him thinking he's going to be my running back 1 for the first 3 weeks. You better be taking him as your running back 2, and you better be getting a Jacquizz Rodgers or somebody like that later on in the draft, and you should be starting Jacquizz Rodgers to start out the season.
When I watch Joe Mixon's tape, I see Le'Veon Bell. It's that simple. I think he's got the ability to line up as a wide receiver, to run those crisp routes that Le'Veon Bell does. He's got the ability as a receiver, as a runner. He's got the patience. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the agility. He's got everything in my eyes.
Yeah. Next up, we have running back Jamal Williams. This is a little bit later of a pick. He's going as running back 42, so around the likes of Thomas Rawls, Duke Johnson, Terrence West, James White, Rex Burkhead, ninth round, pick 11.
I think he's going to have a role with that Packers offense day one. We saw, was that the second week or third week he took first team reps?
Second.
When Ty Montgomery was out. I wouldn't be surprised if Montgomery missed some time this year and Jamal Williams is going to get looks. I think he's a better receiver than a lot of people think he is. He's good at pass blocking, which is key for younger running backs. Jamal Williams has a role in one of the best offenses in the NFL, and you have to love that.
Immediately a role. I could not agree more. He's immediately going to come in and be a factor. He's going to get probably 5 carries or so week one. More importantly, you're going to look for him out of the backfield the same way that you look for Ty Montgomery. None of us are high on Ty Montgomery whatsoever. In my eyes, it's more of a guy that you're going to stash on your bench. You can get him very, very, very late.
Yeah.
And then come week like 7 or 8, he may be the guy in Green Bay.
Yeah, if you're drafting Ty Montgomery, you should be definitely looking to draft as well Jamal Williams here. And round 9, pick 10, that sound about right where you guys are looking at Jamal Williams or a little bit earlier?
Later than that.
Later?
You can get him later than that for sure.
I'd draft him there.
As early for me, 8th round, if I had Ty Montgomery, that's the only reason why I would draft him that early. If I did not have Ty Montgomery, I would consider maybe 10th or 11th round. But if I was a Ty owner, I would go 8th round, just to be sure.
If I was a Ty owner, I'd go jump in a fucking lake.
Running back number 46, Samaje Perine, going into the 11th round. We love Samaje. We were talking about how he could have been the 5th running back, rookie running back, coming off in rookie drafts. Man, he's just looking disappointing. And he had one preseason game that was pretty decent. But Rob Kelly is looking all right.
I really like Samaje. I thought he was going to have a very good chance to take over the backfield in Washington. But right now, it looks like he's light years away from Rob Kelly, which is kind of crazy. Perine's a big physical running back, almost in the mold of Robert Kelly, but he looks lost in pass protection. He looks lost as a receiver, and he's had struggles holding onto the football. He's fumbled. It's just he's not going to have a role right away.
Yeah, it's been disappointing, to say the least. I mean, didn't he have a 75-yard touchdown reception for them?
No.
He had a big reception or run for them at some point. I know that. But no, it is definitely disappointing. He does look lost at times. Still someone that I'd be looking to take very late in hopes that, you know, Rob Kelly just doesn't pan out. But it seems like he might just end up being the typical Redskins running back. Might have hints of greatness, but never really develop into the guy that you want him to be.
There are 3 more guys I want to touch on real quick, running back wise, and then I want to move to wide receiver. So, running back, we have Marlon Mack going as running back 51, 12th round, and then we also have Alvin Kamara going 53, 12th round. Thoughts on those two guys?
Both of them are very similar players. Both are good, explosive athletes, good at receiving the football. Both kind of change of pace backs. Both play in extremely explosive offenses. I like both of these guys. I will probably own one of them in every fantasy football league I am in this year.
Which one do you like more, Tom?
I'm not going to answer that.
Why? Give the fantasy listeners.
Who do you think I like more?
If you're in a dynasty league, for sure Marlon Mack, just for the fact that Frank Gore is old as dirt.
Yeah.
So if that's the case and Frank Gore is done after this year, I mean, who knows? Frank Gore could be good for another 4 more years the way that he's been running the ball. But Marlon Mack is looking pretty explosive in that Indianapolis Colts offense. I like Alvin Kamara, but he's still got Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram in front of him.
Well, and I knew Tom loved Marlon Mack. That's why I kind of put the screws to him a little bit, because I know I surprised Tom a little bit weeks ago when I brought up Marlon Mack and how I really feel like he's going to get a decent amount of carries. And Tom was like, well, I don't know. Frank Gore is still pretty good, because I know Tom. I know how he works, but that's fine. Marlon Mack is the guy to look for. Absolutely. I said it over a month ago, 60-40 on the carries. The Colts have to find something. They have to find a running back. And if Frank Gore is not going to be it, they have to find someone else.
So they're both going in the 12th round, late 12th round. Where would you guys be comfortable drafting them?
Right about that spot, especially in a PPR. I think they're both – the important thing with both these guys, they're both going to have a role in their offense right away. And you can't say that about Samaje Perine. So right now, Rob Kelly, he's going to be that bruiser, the goal line back. And Chris Thompson's going to be that third down scat back type role. And Perine's going to be nowhere to be seen. So he's almost a wasted pick in my eyes right now, unless you have that Rob Kelly. But in a deep PPR league, Marlon Mack and Kamara are both going to score points on a weekly basis. Both have a chance to catch 5 catches on a weekly basis, and both have great quarterbacks. Well, the Colts
maybe
will probably like week 2 or 3.
Two totally different assets, I think. I think Marlon Mack's going to give you the opportunity to have a legit like number 2/flex running back towards the end of the year. And someone in Alvin Kamara, I think he's going to play the Chris Thompson role his rookie year. You have AP and Ingram in front of him.
Actually, I changed my mind. There's two other running backs I want to talk about. One is Deonta Foreman, and then I'll have one more after that. Deonta Foreman, of course, plays for the Texans. I am no Lamar Miller believer. And me personally, if I have a Lamar Miller on my team, I'm drafting Deonta Foreman. I'm looking for him in dynasty leagues. But I'm also leery of Alfred Blue as well. As much as I don't believe in Alfred Blue, he's actually looked pretty good in preseason. He's been the guy when Lamar Miller goes down. And it's kind of a toss-up. I wouldn't reach for him. I would consider where he's going, round 13 here, which means right before your kicker and your defense. And if you got him in round 13 or 14, then I'd feel comfortable with that.
Only a flyer pick, in my opinion. I like him a lot. I was really hoping he'd come over and take over for a Lamar Miller. But what he's shown so far in the preseason has not been very impressive to me. And this is a team that is kind of in an awkward transition stage, right? They have a quarterback now where they're not fond of. They have a quickly aging defense, and they still have a stud wide receiver, a running back who's supposed to be a stud, but they don't have a – they're not defined as anything. They're just kind of up in the air. I don't like – Deonta Foreman, in my opinion, has a better chance to become an Alfred Blue than he does a Lamar Miller.
The only way he should be on your team is if you have a Lamar Miller on your team and to be the handcuff, in all honesty. He's had a couple splash plays, but he's also looked like that typical rookie, struggling in pass coverage. But, yeah, mainly a handcuff in my eyes. Yeah.
Last running back before we move on to the wide receivers, only because I've been talking about him for the last week and a half, Chris Carson for the Seattle Seahawks. Is there any legit shot that this guy gets run? We have seen the Seahawks go to many, many running backs. If we look at Thomas Rawls, Thomas Rawls was undrafted. Right now, he is the guy on top of the depth chart. They went out and got Eddie Lacy. Would you consider drafting Chris Carson at all?
Super late, but it's getting to the level of the New England Patriots where you really have no idea what the hell is going on in that backfield. Brought in Eddie Lacy on that one-year prove-it deal. Thomas Rawls can't stay healthy. CJ Procise, he's my favorite back in this whole group.
Mine too.
But he can't stay healthy either. But
Alex Collins, yeah, he's still there. They drafted another guy.
It's crazy. But Carson has been getting first-team reps. He's looked pretty good. He can catch the football out of the backfield, which a lot of rookie running backs struggle with. He's been okay in protection, but late, but I don't know how confident I'd feel like. Even if you draft a Lacy and getting Carson, you might not even have drafted the starting running back. It might be Rawls, so it's crazy.
And there's almost no way I would take him, honestly.
It's a total risk.
Unless my team is, like, stacked and I'm in a dynasty league thinking, like, hey, maybe, just maybe I can store this guy. And by week, like, 13, when all their other 35 running backs are injured, he starts dominating. I like him. I like him a lot, but fantasy-wise,
I feel like if you're going to draft him, it should be a deep roster, deep bench, probably 7 bench spots, if not 8. And then that's if you're, like, playing, you know, no kicker or anything like that. And yeah, I like him. I've seen his highlights. I've seen him in preseason. I love my Seattle players, my running backs. But, dude, he looks good.
Former Seahawks fan you are.
So
before they got good.
I changed teams, yeah.
You bandwagoning son of a bitch.
Before they got good.
Right, now the Bucks are getting good. Are you going to jump off?
No.
Yeah, you are.
I was a Bucks fan before they got good.
He's so full of shit.
Eat a dick.
I want all of our listeners to know that prior to the Seahawks becoming good, literally,
I was the fan.
Literally, you'd be like, hey, Josh, what are you doing tonight? It's like, all right, motherfucker. And now you're like, hey, Josh, what are you doing tonight? He's like, yarr, matey, Jameis Winston is the man. So I'm sure after this, he'll just jump on the Browns bandwagon. Yeah, we don't ever have to worry about them getting good. So,
my God. All right, let's move on to wide receivers. First wide receiver we're going to start off with is number 47, rookie wide receiver Corey Davis, getting picked in the 10th round, 5th spot. It's tough to talk about some of these guys. They're all going 10th round or later right now, and I think it's very just.
I think we all like Corey Davis as that prospect. He's got that awesome size you're looking for a receiver, 6'3", over 200 pounds. Pretty much did everything extremely well in college, but struggled with injuries, wasn't able to participate at the combine at a full level, and really has struggled with injuries in camp as well. So it's kind of a crapshoot right now. I'm not going to be investing picks into him in redraft leagues at all, and probably not in dynasty leagues either, because he's probably still going to be going in the top five or six.
This is a, it just seems like, again, for like the third or fourth year in a row, wide receivers, the top ones have health concerns, and it's going to be a random guy. It's going to be a Curtis Samuel of the Panthers randomly coming out and dominating rookie wide receivers, or Chris Godwin. So a random rookie wide receiver is going to come out. I love Corey Davis. It pains me to see. I was worried about him from the start, just with, you know, coming from the MAC. Obviously, big body wide receiver, but I was still worried about him. I hated the draft position for the Titans, in all honesty, but it is what it is. I hope he pans out. I hope him and Mariota end up being, you know, long-time superstars. But right now, he's more on the Kevin White train than he is the Julio Jones.
Yeah, if you can get him as, like, your wide receiver five, maybe, or if you have a two wide receiver and a flex and you take him as your wide receiver three and you have a running back that you can put in the flex, I'd feel comfortable with it.
For our listeners, we obviously have our Keepers League that we're all in. I had my other league. I'm in two serious leagues. And in that other league, I took Corey Davis on Friday in the 14th round. That's how far
he's
dropping.
Which is probably where,
especially with
be.
Injury concern, that's where you should be looking at him.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 49, going in the 11th round, first pick.
He's looked good in the preseason. Jared Goff seems to really like targeting him. They brought a new number one in, Sammy Watkins. They got Robert Woods. But Cooper Kupp, I think he's a sleeper type wide receiver or rookie wide receiver that has a possibility to be the most productive wide receiver or rookie wide receiver overall this year.
He was a great guy to own before Sammy Watkins came in.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you saw it in their third preseason game, which is the biggest, you know, crystal ball into the regular season.
Yeah.
I mean, he had what, one target?
I don't even think he had
zero
a target.
Targets. Yeah, I mean, he had nothing. And even in that second preseason, he did score a touchdown, but I believe he only had two
coverage.
Targets. Yeah, it was
no,
blown coverage.
He had like seven. They're forcing.
Yeah, five catches, seven targets.
I mean, nevertheless, I mean, you add to that that they have Jared Goff, who's questionable at best at quarterback. I don't like it at all. I think that he should go undrafted, in my opinion.
I don't think undrafted, but I'd be worried about also the other rookie wide receiver that they have is Josh Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
They have Farrell Cooper that they drafted last year.
Yeah, Alabama,
they have a lot
Tennessee.
Of guys. Tyler Higbee's a backup tight end. They drafted Everett. They got a lot of offensive weapons, and the thing is, not every single one of those guys can be on the field at the same exact time.
The only reason I would contemplate drafting him, and you mentioned the other rookie wide receivers, if I can get Corey Davis in the 15th, there better be 24 rounds if I'm going to be drafting Cooper Kupp. But the only reason I contemplate it is it seems like the Rams are trying to figure out if Jared Goff was actually the answer.
Yeah.
So they might come out, and obviously Gurley's going to get his, but they might let Goff go and throw the ball, you know, 40 times a game this season.
Moving on, wide receiver 52, Zay Jones, 11th round, 7th pick.
He's my number one rookie wide receiver. A lot of people are jumping on that bandwagon. I've been saying it for over a month now, but I think he's the number one option there in Buffalo. Jordan Matthews was traded for. He's been struggling with a broken sternum, something crazy. Anquan Boldin retired. The Bills are in total fire sale mode, but Zay Jones is going to be a target hog, just like he was in college, which led him to be one of the most prolific wide receivers in FCS history.
Love me some Zay as well. I feel like he should. I mean, he's my primary target as well. He's my number one rookie wide receiver, which is crazy for me to say. I remember when we all watched film on him, we were like, "Hey, look at this guy, Zay Jones. He's crazy. He's good." But no, he is, and beyond, you know, it scares me that Tyrod's hurt. That concussion protocol that he's in already, if that looms all season, you don't know. But just like we said with the Jets at one point, someone has to catch the ball. If he's your third or fourth wide receiver, you should be extremely happy.
I got a question for you guys. We have Zay Jones on the team. We have Jordan Matthews, who has a broken sternum. Who are their other wide receivers? Exactly. Zay Jones is going to be the guy on that team. He should be higher on this list. 11th round. He should maybe be 9th round at the earliest, the very earliest.
That's
what I'm saying. At the very earliest. Somebody's got to catch the ball on that team. It's not going to be Charles Clay all day. So somebody's got to do it. And I have faith in Zay Jones over than whoever else.
To me, it's more of it's going to be the LeSean McCoy show. They're just going to run him 30 times a game
until he dies.
That's exactly my point. I do believe, to your point, by week 9, week 10, it's going to be Peterman to Jones all day.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to be, nonstop.
Last two rookie wide receivers, Kenny Galladay and John Ross, both getting picked kind of late, but they're two guys we want to talk about. Kenny Galladay had a big preseason game and kind of has fallen off the wagon, and John Ross has really not done much of anything.
Yeah, Galladay torched my shitty Indianapolis Colts secondary.
Yep.
The first week of the preseason, scored 2 touchdowns. But he's most likely he'll be the new number 3 wide receiver for this team, take over that Anquan Boldin role. He's a big-bodied receiver. I think he's 6'3 or 6'4, over 200 pounds. Played at a small school, Northern Illinois University. But I think he's got some value. He's got a role in that system. And I'm a big-time Eric Ebron supporter and believer, but I'm getting sick of him burning me, and I feel like it might happen again. He's had an issue again staying healthy this preseason. Galladay might be the guy to get those Anquan Boldin red zone targets.
Tate, Jones, Ebron, and their 4 running backs that they have are the guys that I'm looking at beforehand. The Lions, like many teams out there with a gunslinger quarterback, they have Matthew Stafford, obviously just got paid big time money. They're going to get, swing the ball around everywhere. Galladay would be my last position player drafted.
He's going in the 13th round, yep. Which guys pretty much there. 14th
round. I wouldn't.
I wasn't going to talk about the rookie tight ends, but I'm just going to, I don't think we can really consider drafting any of these guys as your legit starter, but we do have rookies, OJ Howard, Evan Engram, and Everett. I think those are the big 3.
And Njoku.
He might not even be the starter, to be honest. No. There's talk about he's number 3 on the depth chart for the tight ends. So out of those 3 guys, I don't think you're going to be drafting those guys fairly high. The only one that I would consider, honestly, I like Evan Engram. I've talked about him all offseason. But with OBJ hurt, Sterling Shepard can't stay healthy, Brandon Marshall can't stay healthy. If those guys go down during the season, I like Evan Engram to do something, but I would be picking him off the waivers.
I'm tired of you going down on Evan Engram, Josh, in all honesty. That's all you've been doing.
Can we just talk about Adam Shaheen, Tim?
No, I'm not going to do it. Honestly, I think I do believe maybe next year he's going to have a big role, and he's actually been blocking very well, so that's going to be his primary role, I think, here in the beginning. I think the rookie tight end to watch is a sleeper on a terrible team with no wide receivers. Jordan Leggett. Watch Jordan Leggett, like Leggett on the Jets. He can catch the ball. They have no one there. They're going to be down by 6 million points every game. And in the red zone, you have Bilal Powell and you have Jordan Leggett.
Plus, the Jets are starting Josh McCown, and he loves throwing the ball to his tight ends.
If you're in a super deep league, look at George Kittle from the Niners.
Yep.
He's a White Sox player, I think.
They just traded Vance McDonald to the Steelers, so he might be getting a lot of first-team looks. I like Kittle in that system.
Rookie quarterbacks, please don't draft any. Don't be stupid. That's all I have to say about that.
Next year, which of these rookie quarterbacks will be the most fantasy-relevant?
It's going to be something that I'm not sure if I've talked about it on the show. I know I've expressed it to all of you. I truly believe Patrick Mahomes is going to be starting very, very soon for the Chiefs. I don't think it's actually been defined that Alex Smith is starting week 1 yet, which actually makes me feel even better about
all
this.
It's happening.
He's going to start week 1, but he has the most pressure on him. He has come out and said to the media that he feels the same way that he did when Colin Kaepernick was there. Patrick Mahomes has shown moments of greatness, and Alex Smith is there to manage the offense. Patrick Mahomes, already at his juvenile state of the quarterback position, shows far more talent than Alex Smith has ever shown in his whole entire life. I don't want to be mean to Alex Smith. That's just a fact. By week 6 at the latest, Patrick Mahomes will be a starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to throw 10 interceptions, but he's going to throw 4 touchdowns.
You sound like the 8-bit bros.
Whoa, bro.
I like Nathan Peterman. I don't know. If Tyrod's not there, I don't think Tyrod's going to be there. I think it's going to be Nathan Peterman.
I'm just mind blown right now.
I would never start those guys. Let's wrap this up. Let's go.
Hold on, one more thing. We have to listen. We're talking about rookie quarterbacks.
Come on, let's go. Let's wrap it up.
Real quick, we're talking about Deshaun Kizer. He's the only rookie quarterback actually starting this year.
True.
That needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
How do you see him progressing? There are weapons there. They have a running game. Their offensive line is dramatically improved.
If it hasn't happened already, he might be the only quarterback to throw an interception in every single game.
Yeah, he'll lead the league in interceptions. I'm guessing 25 plus.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It might be ugly, but...
Yeah. I think he's the best option. But I just think that the game's not... I don't think he's ready for the game yet, but I think he's the best option on the team.
I think by next year, he's putting up Tyrod Taylor numbers.
I hope so. I really do.
I do.
Anything else, guys?
Nope.
All right, cool. Hope you guys enjoyed our episode about the rookies to watch in your 2017 draft for fantasy football. It is coming up. Hopefully you guys draft either this weekend or hopefully the end of preseason, because you don't want to draft that OBJ or that Ezekiel Elliott like pre-hand and then they get suspended or hurt or, you know, anything else like that. So, again, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Kick Sports, at Pony Kick Tom, at Pony Kick Tim. Hit us up on our website, ponykicksports.com. Also, check out our buddies at cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter at cleatgeeks. Go to draftingsleepers.com. Also, please do yourself a favor if you want to win a Le'Veon Bell signed autograph jersey. Go to our Facebook, our Twitter, our website, and submit a question. And also go on iTunes and please rate our podcast and do all that stuff. So make sure you send us all your information, name, address, phone number, all that good stuff.
Do it, bitch.
All right, see you guys next time.